Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen the title for today's sermon? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Based on Matthew 27, listen to these two verses. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor, Pontius Pilate, again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Give us Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they said, "Let him be crucified." I invite you to follow your sermon outline as we consider our today's theme, decisions, decisions, decisions. This morning, obviously, we're going to talk about decisions. Specifically, we'll talk about three decisions. One made by the people, one made by Pontius Pilate, and one made by God. These three decisions were made just a few days after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that day that we celebrate today. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem with what might be called a victory parade. The Judean crowd was festival and joyful. Jesus was coming. They hailed him as the Messiah, and as the one they hoped would free them from the oppressive rule of the Roman occupation troops. But just 5 days later, just five short days later, some of the same crowd who were calling Hosanna now were calling "Crucify him." And now come the three big decisions. Let's look more closely at the scene set before us in our text. 5 days after Jesus' triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, Jesus as a trial for his very life before his crucifixion. What a scene! The heart of the action lies in the decisions made by those who came face to face with Jesus. They cannot remain neutral. A decision has to be made. They must make up their minds about him. The hour of decision has come. Judas decides, betrays Jesus, and takes his own life. Peter decides, denies Jesus, and runs away with burning tears in his eyes. The other disciples decide, abandon Jesus, and hide to protect themselves. And now in the trial scene of Jesus, the stage is emptied except for a faceless crowd, a Roman governor, a criminal named Barabbas, and Jesus. Now, the man who has the hardest time in making his mind up about Jesus was Pontius Pilate. Pilate is portrayed as a man who has a sense of fairness as it comes to administering Roman justice. He can see that Jesus is not getting a fair deal by the crowd. But Pilate also has power, and he intends to keep it. So he decides to cater to the crowd. Pilate's between a rock and a hard place, and he has a decision to make. Finally, he comes up with what he thinks, is a brilliant idea. He didn't want to decide, so he'll get somebody else to do it. Huh? That does ever sound like you and me? When we have a tough decision to make, we hope that somebody else will make it for us? Let the people decide, Pilate says. I'll be democratic about this. And I'll give the people the choice between good and evil. the choice between God and man, the choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Surely they will decide the right way. Are not many minds better than one? Surely the goodness of mankind will shine forth. Right. The crowd demands, and Pilate acts and gives in, and Barabbas is set free. With this moment, the scene becomes amazingly modern and 21st century. We may call it spiritual blindness. We may call it mob mentality. But we must never forget the people in that crowd that day were a cross-section of humanity. Men and women from the homes, the stores, the markets of Jerusalem, religious people. People who would not think of killing an animal on the Saturday Sabbath, but who were willing to kill the Lord of creation on a Friday. And why did the people cry, "Give us Barabbas"? I don't think it was because they hated Jesus personally. Their religious leaders probably hated Jesus, but not the general people. Why? How do you hate someone who only always spoke about the love of God, who healed the sick, who stuck up for the downcast? No, we need to see something much more dark and demonic here. The people made their decision and they cried out, "Give us Barabbas." The world around us cries out in so many ways, "The heck with Jesus. Give us Barabbas." And we at times in our own sinful flesh can cry out, "Give us Barabbas," because we are all under the same evil compulsion the Bible calls sin. Here it is. Here's what was behind that decision on that Friday morning is still behind so many decisions today in our world. It's sin. Every sin of the world was present that morning with Jesus at his trial. What was in the air and in the heart that spring morning is still with us today. Let me ask you, look around our world today. Look at the horrendous mess we've made of our world. What is wrong with the soul of mankind? What is at the heart and core of each of us today that compels us to choose evil instead of good, to choose evil instead of God, to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus? Sin is what is at the heart and core of each of us today. And if you think, yeah, I'm talking to you and to myself, if you think you don't have a problem with sin, if I think I don't have a problem with sin, then we are just fooling ourselves. Now, so far we've talked about two decisions. Pilate's and the crowds of which we're a part. But now are you ready for some good news? Let's talk about God's decision that day. Let's take a look at God's side of the story. Let's take a look at God's view of this Friday morning scene in Jerusalem, just a handful of days after Palm Sunday. It's something wonderful. It's a wonderful decision that God the Father has made on your behalf and mine, on behalf of the world. If we, in realism and repentance, must identify ourselves with the crowd, then God in His pity and God in His mercy identifies us with Barabbas. Barabbas, for whom Jesus became the substitute. Barabbas, who went free because Jesus took His cross. Barabbas, who lived because Jesus died. Barabbas, was a convicted criminal, likely both a thief and a murderer. Barabbas deserved the cross execution we call crucifixion by which he had been sentenced by the Roman government. But on that day of his trial, Barabbas must have been the most surprised and thankful criminal condemned in the history of the Roman Empire. Because Jesus was sent to the cross meant for him, and Barabbas was set free. My friends, the parallel is too clear. Jesus became the substitute for us. We are free because Jesus took our place on the cross. We live because Jesus died. Jesus paid the penalty for the sin that we deserve. This is what theologians call, look at your sermon outline, the great exchange. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul talks about the same thing in 2 Corinthians 8:9, this great exchange, when he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." All of this because God made a decision for you and for me. This decision is called forgiveness. And like the thief and murderer Barabbas, we in no way deserve it. But because of God's great decision for you and me, we can leave this church building together today free and forgiven. We can see ourselves in the freed and forgiven Barabbas. So, run, Barabbas, run. Jump, Barabbas, jump. Shout, Barabbas, shout. Your chains of sin and guilt have been broken and removed. And given this forgiveness, as thankful recipients of God's great decision, we cannot help but live and act and speak as God's beloved people. And today, when we're faced with the many decisions that come our way, we will not join the multitude around us. We will not simply want to fit in with the crowd. We will not adopt the false priorities of the godless. We will not cry out, "Give us Barabbas." But we will, with humble and thankful faith, declare, "Give us Jesus." In the name of Jesus, blessed Palm Sunday to you. Amen.